1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, hold on. Stand by, bud. Stand by.
Hey.
Is that the guy on the line, or are you sure that's the guy on the line? Okay, let me see if I got this guy or not here. Sir, are you there?
Hello?
Are you the guy that robbed a bank today?
I'm just trying to get home.
You're the guy that robbed a bank out there?
Yeah. I'm trying to get home. I don't want to get shot or anything.
You know, the cops are looking for you, man. For those of you just joining us, we had a bank robbery here in at Sepulveda and Ventura. The cops are out there looking for you right now. Where are you?
I'm south of the freeway right now. I'm trying to get home. I'm just telling the police that I don't mean to do anything. You know?
Can't hear you. What?
Tell the police I'm not doing anything.
Did you rob the bank?
Yeah, I robbed it.
Well, they got you cordoned off, man. There's LAPD choppers all over the place. They got the Sepulveda North is shut down. And I have to imagine south of the freeway is shut down, too. You're not able to get out, are you?
Well, doing everything I can. You know.
Why'd you rob the bank?
I robbed the bank. I robbed my family. You know.
For your family?
Yeah. I need money, you know. Everything's been bad.
I can't hear you, man. You robbed the bank. Why? I know you need the money, but you said with your family?
Yeah, my wife's sick. And most of the people, they don't understand.
What's your name?
Ron Paul.
Paul?
Yeah, Ron Paul.
Well, dude, there's no getting out of there, man. I'm looking all around.
I know. I want the police to understand. I'll get the money back. I want to stay.
If you give the money back, you think they'll let you go? That's not going to happen.
Well, I guess they'll have to shoot me. I don't know.
You expect the police to shoot you?
I guess so.
Your name's Paul. You robbed a bank right there at the corner, huh? Ventura and Sepulveda.
Yeah.
How come, man? You didn't have a car or anything, right?
No, I thought I was trying to get on foot. I did have a car. It was broke down.
Well, I can tell you could probably hear the police siren there. I mean, they're very, very close to you, aren't they?
Yeah, they're bellowing. All right.
I will tell you this, man. You're going to have to give yourself up because there's no getting out of what I just saw. I was out there. I saw it. They got Sepulveda shut down north. They got the choppers circling overhead. They got probably the freeway shut down south. And, you know, this robbing banks near freeways.
You'll have to keep the money.
You can't keep the money.
No, I don't. I'm going to give the money back. They'll do.
You want to give the money back?
Yeah, that's what I said. I want to give the money back if they'll let me walk out of here. I just want to walk free and clear, you know?
You ain't got to be free and clear. Best thing you can do is give yourself up.
That's that, man. I can give myself up. I might have been born tonight. It wasn't last night.
All right. I want to keep you on the line. Bud, keep him on the line, okay?
Will do.
Did you speak with Bud?
Yeah, I talked to somebody. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
That's Bud, my producer.
All right. Well, put him back on me up.
Are you scared?
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared of everything.
Bud, you got to speak clearly to this guy. I didn't understand you.
I'm not about as clear as he is.
I think I got a handful of slobber or something.
Well, he might. All right. Paul, you stay on with Bud. And you won't tell me where you are, huh?
No, I'm...
You got a lot of manpower out there looking around for you, man.
Screw that. I'm just trying to make my way down. I'm going down to Knott's Berry Farm because they open up the corkscrew.
You want to make your way to Knott's Berry Farm? Dude, you are in a whole world of hurt here, man.
They'll open up the corkscrew. I'll get all that.
You want them to open a corkscrew up for you at Knott's Berry Farm and you'll give all the money back?
Well, I'm in good fair shape. That's all I want to do.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think anybody is... First of all, isn't Knott's open? Call Knott's and see if they're open, Bud.
I'm pretty sure they're open.
Well, is the corkscrew open?
Maybe.
What's a Superman Escape?
That's at Magic Mountain.
Oh, that's not Berry Farm.
No, Superman Escapes is at Magic Mountain.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna get up there.
Well, they got the freeway. How are you gonna get? Are you gonna walk?
That's what I was planning on doing. Yeah.
You were gonna walk up the Magic Mountain and go on Superman Escapes with what? All that money you had in your pocket?
That was my plan. Yeah.
Buddy, you never rob a bank without a car, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know much about it.
About the teacups, they got that?
Teacups or Disneyland?
What?
Alice in Wonderland teacups.
Alice in Wonderland teacups are at Disneyland.
What are you talking about? They're not at Magic Mountain, you retard.
Call me retard. You sound like I got a handful of slobber.
What do you say?
Says you sound like a guy who's got a handful of slobber. Look, sir, I'm going to keep you on the line with my producer here, Bud Dickman, but I need for you to understand that you're in serious trouble, and you're not going to be walking to Magic Mountain to ride on any teacups, okay?
What about Knott's Berry Farm?
They're open, and the corkscrew's open, man. That's even further.
All right, I'll split the difference. How about Disneyland?
What do you mean, split the difference? Keep him on the line, Bud.
Stay on the line, sir.
If I got to talk to this man with his... No way. No way.
Don't hang up, okay?
You better tell him to get the slobber out.
All right.
Hey, were you talking to me?
I can hear what you're saying to him, bud. Guy robbed a bank across the street. I just walked outside to check this scene out. And there's cops all over the place. And they have shut down Sepulveda. And as I walked around the corner of our building to go down Ventura to kind of look at this during the top of the hour break, there's two guys standing there. One guy wearing like a kind of a khaki military jacket, another guy with his head shaved bald. They turn around and they look at me and they go, "Hey, you were on Dennis Miller. Hey, Bobby, this guy was on Dennis. Hey, how you doing?"
Is it the guy?
Who?
The guy, the bald guy you saw.
That robbed the bank?
Yeah.
No, these are two guys waiting for a bus.
Well, it could be him.
Wow, you're right.
You idiot! You bloody fool! He may be disguising himself as a guy who's a fan of yours to get out. To get out of town, to get out of the dragnet.
Yeah, maybe you're right, bud. I don't know. But anyway, these two guys look at me, "Hey, you aren't Dennis Miller." I go, "Yeah." So they told me, "Yeah, this the guy's this and the guy's that."
The guy that they're looking for may be getting on a crosstown bus right now. Oh, my God.
Bud, relax. They know where the guy is. That's where they got the choppers flying all over the place. By the way, are we back on in L.A. yet? Are the Lakers done for the night? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters. This is the place where we help you reconnect. And we're very happy to have you here this afternoon. I've got two very special guests with me. I have Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth. This is going to be a show, Bob Jimmery.
I think it's going to be great.
Marriage Encounters, as you know, went on the air 2 years ago on 173 stations, television stations across the United States. And as of this broadcast, we're up to 260.
Hey, way to do it.
Thank you, Bob. And we're very thrilled with the success our program is having. And I'll tell you why. Because our program helps people renew their marriages here on Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters.
It's a great service, Steve.
Thank you. All right, let's get our first guests and our only guests here on Marriage Encounters. They've been having problems, and why not? They're in the public eye probably more than any couple in the history of the world. In 1952, these two people were married in what was one of the most ornate pageants and celebrations in the history of the British Isles. She was the daughter of Queen Elizabeth I. Queen Elizabeth was married to King George III, and as a couple, they were
much beloved in Great Britain, especially during the war years. Prince Philip was originally from Greece, raised in Great Britain, met and married Queen Elizabeth. She was 25 years of age, and we'd like to welcome on Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters. Welcome, Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth, and thank you. We're very honored.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I got a cough. I want to start with you, Prince Philip, and your Majesty. What did you see in this lady at first that finally deteriorated for you?
I thought she was a very good-looking woman.
Yeah?
And you have money and everything, you know. But she never liked me. Thought I was ugly and everything. You know, I had big ears.
And your Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, what did you like about Prince Philip?
I thought he was very well-spoken. He had a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah, but you know, you started dissing me and everything.
I did not. I said that I thought you could stand a bath every now and then. And his hygiene.
So the hygiene is the question here, Prince Philip.
I made a joke about her knickers one time, and she said I didn't like that. She had bacon strip.
You see what I'm saying?
All right. Let's talk about this. You're making jokes about her underwear being streaked.
I don't know.
Well, I thought that it was in the poorest of taste, and as the reigning monarch of a nation, I am certainly an individual deserving more respect.
I would agree with that, Prince Philip. She's your wife, and you are the prince.
Yeah, you know, you sound pretty good. Well, I ain't no king.
No, you're not the king.
Yeah. I'm not the king, so, but that big-eared freak she got for a son.
But that's your son.
I know. But he got to be king, I don't.
I told you that the line does not descend to your side of the family, only mine.
Uh-huh.
You see how stupid he is? He's not, God, he's stupid.
Well, so there's a difference of intelligence here, is that right?
I think so.
Who do you think's smarter, Prince Philip, you or Queen Elizabeth?
I think I am. I'm way better. I'm better.
But making a crack about the bacon strips in her underwear, do you think that's intelligent?
I made a joke. I told him about that.
Well, I don't think it's funny, and I told you that my subjects demand more respect.
All right.
See how you can work that out? You see how wonderful... Bob, Jimmy, come on in here for a minute.
Yeah.
Here we have Prince Philip. Say hello to Bob, Jimmy.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm great. And Queen Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi. And the reason they're here on Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters is because he was making a crack about the streaks in her shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him not to do it anymore. You promise not to do it anymore, Prince Philip?
Yeah.
You see how he hesitated, though?
Well, let him have his feelings, though. Do you promise not to do it anymore?
Yeah, I won't do it no more.
All right, but what about the other thing?
What's he doing?
Well, you tell him.
I smell my finger. And I tell you now, I don't have that disrespect on anybody. I smell my finger.
You're smelling your finger when?
Anytime I want to.
He's smelling his finger at the most inappropriate times, sitting at the dinner table. We met Prince Charles and his new lady, Lady Bowles, and he shook the lady's hand.
Yes.
And then sniffed his finger.
I did. I sniffed the finger, I shook the hand, I don't know that.
Oh, God.
Well, I think you both are off to a great start. And I thank you both very much for being here on Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters.
I don't know, you helped me at all. You told me I can't sniff my finger?
No.
See, that I don't feel the Marriage Encounter did me no good.
I'm very happy.
Thank you. Thank you both. This has been Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters with Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth. And what were the problems we solved today? He doesn't make fun of her streaked shorts, and he doesn't sniff his finger after he shakes hands with Prince Philip's, or Prince Charles, I should say, girlfriends. Good night, everybody. Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters.
Now that one's here.
Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters. Get Steve's book, 16 Ways to Say Hi.
Available now at Barnes & Noble.
Jesus.
Pretty weird, huh, bud?
Yeah.
Steve Grissom's Marriage Encounters. All right, now what's going on with that bank robbery?
Well, I got Bob Bakian. He's going to be out in a helicopter right now.
All right, let's go to Bob Bakian. Bob Bakian is out there. Bob, what are you seeing in the San Fernando Valley right now with a bank robbery that we know took place just across the street here from our studios?
Well, right now, and I'm looking down upon a scene where there's really no police at all. As a matter of fact, I don't see much traffic at all, and I think probably they wrapped this up. And I think it's good news that there is a bank robber caught tonight. I think it's been wrapped up here in Los Angeles. Bob, make it reporting.
Wait a minute, Bob.
Yes, Phil.
There are still choppers flying around out there.
Well, the only chopper flying around is mine, Phil.
No, there's three or four police choppers out there. Where are you?
I'm directly over from Ventura and Sepulveda right now. And what I'm looking at right now is a very diverse scene here. Maybe a couple of pedestrians. I've seen two or three cars, but the police traffic is all gone. And the police helicopter traffic is gone. Bob Banking reporting.
Wait a second.
What?
You ain't done with your report, man, because there's three police choppers out there.
Where?
Where? Ventura and Sepulveda.
Well, hold on for a minute. Let me get my Thomas brothers.
Your Thomas brothers?
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
What?
I'm over downtown. I gotta...
Yeah, you moron.
Bob Banking reporting.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. Bob Banking reporting.
Great. Tell that guy to... What is this Thomas brothers?
I told him to get GPS. He said he don't want to listen to that bitch.
All right, so anyway, the police activity continues out there until further notice. Not that any of you guys give a crap. As a matter of fact, I just got a call from David Hall. He said, why are you talking about a bank robbery in L.A., man? You ain't even on the air in L.A. right now. The Lakers are still playing. The Lakers tonight playing the Miami Heat in Miami, and the final score, 6,000-0, Miami. All right, Heat, yeah! Woo! Heat. I love the Heat. I love the Heat. I love Miami. Bienvenidos, Miami. I wouldn't go to heaven on a round-trip ticket. All right, so that silly crap is going to be going on until further notice, meaning the Laker game, not the bank robbery. There's two really terrible tragedies happening in L.A. tonight, a bank robbery and the Laker game. 1-800-449-8686. Our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. A lot of fun stuff for you to do when you go to our website. One of them is to visit our souvenir shop where you can find something for everybody. And I literally mean everybody. Lots of new products. If you're looking for our best of CDs, you can buy them there. You just click on the link and it'll take you over to the My Friend's Place site. You can also buy the new official Phil Henry Show crew neck shirt. This is really a cool shirt. It's for guys mostly. No, I take that back. Women will love it. It's a long sleeve shirt. I know how women get cold. You know how you chicks get cold? They're always cold, man. And that's okay, because I know it's all about the subcutaneous layer of fat or whatever the hell it is. I always ask my wife, I say, how come you guys are cold when you got that extra little layer of fat because you're going to have babies? And she goes, I don't know. I just have a chill. You ever your wife or your girlfriend? Put your arms around me. I have a chill. Oh, you just want me to hug you. No, I'm freezing. I go, honey, you got on like a parka, you got a hood, you got mittens, you got those freaking Ugg boots. I don't know how many pairs of Ugg boots I bought you over the last 10 years. 68 pairs of those goofy looking boots. You look like a freaking Eskimo in those things. You ever see guys wearing Ugg boots now? That's scaring me. I think I'll start wearing a pair. Anyway, you get the Ugg boots, you're still cold, huh? It's just a little bit of a chill, honey. I'll say, let's sit outside tonight. You want to go out to the restaurant and they got an outside patio? You ever do that? Let's sit outside tonight. Oh, it's cold. No, the guy will turn on the outside heater. I'll have the waiter turn on the outside heater. Well, okay. So then the waiter, he muscles the thing, turns the freaking thing up to pit six hell. So that, you know, and I'm bald, and when beads of sweat start breaking out on the top of my head, it's hot. And there's my wife. It's a little bit of a chill. Oh, what are you talking about? So get her the crew neck, man. She'll never be cold again. It's on our website there in the souvenir shop. Also, the official Phil Henry Show mouse pad. And we actually had to put down doesn't include mouse because some clown thought he'd get the free mouse along with the mouse pad because there's a picture of it in the... Hey. Also, the Western Estates Country Club cap, the official Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Western Estates polo shirt, all kinds of stuff at our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. Go on, Aaron. We got shot glasses and we got the cooler. We got it all going on. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, coming up, we want to read. I'm going to read a couple of emails here. A couple that I really kind of enjoyed getting, just because they were different, and one was very informative for me, and the other asks a very good question. And then I want you to respond to the following question via email here in the last few minutes of the show. And I am curious as to which piece of material we've done on our show over the years you've been listening to it that you felt was in the poorest possible taste. Now, the reason why I ask is over the last week, we've done autism and mental retardation bits, handicapped women in wheelchairs, Asian women with flat rear ends. It's really run the gamut, and it's beginning to sink to an all-time low.
Wait a minute.
Just shut up, bud. This is my time.
What are you talking about? It's good stuff.
No. Maybe it is. I just want to find out.
Oh, my God. You're going to open a floodgate. You're an idiot.
Why don't you shut up and let me do this? I just think, bud, when we come to the air with, hey, there's a retarded kid in mass today, I don't think I want to serve him communion because his hands will be full of slabber.
That was hysterical.
Just let me handle it, okay? Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. Wait a minute. Yeah, David, I'm sorry.
What are you getting cold feet?
Cold feet about what?
All of a sudden you're worried about some Irish guy coming on and saying a kid had slabber?
I'm just wondering, at what point...
I told you were beating the retard thing into the ground. I told you that. The fact you got Bud, then you do autism bits, then the mental retardation bit, the kid getting communion with slabber.
Just let me deal with it, okay? Here is an email from a guy by the name of Keith. He says, Phil, I see from the marquee that Larry Grover has been reinvented. Well, Larry is now the angry liberal. He used to be the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. As a close personal friend of Larry, I believe the true essence of his character is his relationship with his mother and his strange sexual interests. That he was chairman of Conservatives of Kern County was funny. That he lost his marriage because of his support for Clinton's impeachment was likewise clever. But what makes Larry's character really come alive is his having taken up residence on his mother's service porch and Larry's desire for, quote, clean and respectful sex with a woman. The segment where Larry indicates his willingness to, quote, put a bag over a woman's head and lay plastic sheets over the bed and clean up the mess with gasoline solvent or some such was absolutely priceless. Combined with his obviously regressed relationship with his mom, his, quote, thing, end quote, with girlfriends makes Larry twisted in a way that compares only with the incomparable Herb Sewell, another dear friend of mine. So in the end, it doesn't matter whether Larry's a conservative or a liberal. What matters is that he remains very sick vis-a-vis his mother and potential girlfriends. I would simply add, surely he will continue working at the print shop, yes? Loyal listening, Keith. Damn good point, Keith. It ain't about whether he supports Clinton or whether he supports Bush. It's the fact that the guy wanted to have only respectful sex with women, and that meant never taking their clothes off and cleaning up with gasoline. Here's a letter that is a good one. He says... Tom writes, he says, with an increasing audience every day and more people getting it, won't you run out of idiot callers soon? Now, that's a good question. People have asked that question since I started doing this show 15 years ago. And it should be answered. But I can't answer it without theme music. You see, Tom, callers and listeners are different. Imagine, if you will, you're at a Disneyland 360-degree Monsanto film, and I'm your narrator. And on the screen, you see The Phil Hendry Show in all of its permutations. This is the story of talk show callers. Tom, the talk show caller is not a listener. I know you think he is, but in point of fact, the talk show caller is an individual who is very much unlike a regular listener. Regular listeners never call talk shows, but callers call all the talk shows. You may recognize them as the kind of people who drive down the street with lots and lots of bumper stickers on their cars. You ever wonder to yourself, who is that weirdo? Well, that individual is a talk show caller. 98% of your audience never calls. Only 2%. And of those 2%, of course, the Phil Hendry Show is working with an even smaller percentage of usable callers. Because the talk show caller is what we call a random and selective listening kind of person, they never really concentrate in the entirety of the bit. And so therefore, one word, one phrase, just one thought will prompt them to call. They're a rather myopic group. People who really don't see too far beyond themselves and their own reactions to things. Therefore, they cum lots of different talk stations and talk shows and will continue to do that till the end of time. But to answer your question even more succinctly, Tom, even if everybody did start getting it and we ran out of callers, that would mean that we basically have an 80 share. That means around 80% of all radios are tuned into the Phil Hendry Show because everybody gets what it is that we're doing. If that ever became a case, in point, we'd be filthy rich, and I'd retire to someplace far, far, far away under some kind of a banana plant leaf, sitting there sucking on a drink with a little umbrella in it, and some young boy, attractive, although not to me because I'm straight, would say, "Can I get you another piece of fruit, sir?" And I'd say, "Certainly." And then I would take it out of his mouth the way J. Edgar Hoover did in Nixon to that boy serving him by the pool. And that's the story of how it is we'll never, ever, ever run out of callers. And if we do, I will be wealthy beyond my wildest dreams. That's the story of talk show callers here at Disneyland's Monsanto. Please exit to the right. And while exiting, you'll notice we'll be sending you through an entire gift shop where you'll stop and do a lot of impulse buying. The way we lay out this park's pretty cool, huh? And, of course, if you realize that it's impulse buying and you don't want to buy anything, your kids will go, "I want to get some mouse ears or something. Look at these pens and everything." And you'll pick your kid up and just sail him right through that plate glass like a spear.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Email. This is from Ed. Ed says, "Phil, the Father McQuarters bit about slobber was a riot. I was driving my cement mixer at the time, and I had to stop and set the brake because I thought I was going to pass out. Love the show. More of the Father and Jay Santos, please." Thanks a lot, Ed, for that. He's a Backstage Pass listener. And I can tell when people email me as Backstage Pass listeners because it says Backstage Pass on it. And the other email we try to get to, but generally, Michelle will answer that, and you'll like getting a note from Michelle, and sometimes I do, but she's far prettier and far more tactful. "Hey, Phil, if you're serious about bringing the show down south, I work for Grupo ACIR, a Clear Channel partner down here in Mexico City with stations all over Mexico. I will definitely come, but maybe we can, I will definitely come, but maybe we can help get it all set up. Let me know what I can do to help. Thanks, Greg." It's a guy who works for, "I'd like to do the show in Cabo. And I'd like to bring listeners down there, and I got the hotel, I got the whole thing set up. I got the whole idea of how I can do our listeners down there in Cabo San Lucas, or Cabo de San Jose. I got the hotel, I got the beach, I got the, man, I got it. Okay, let me tell you. Here's the hotel. It's in Cabo. It's called the one and only Palmia. Now, my wife goes, oh, well, you don't want to go there. Oh, well, excuse me. Ain't it good enough for you? Your Royal Highness. Now, check this out. They set bonfires for you on the beach. They got the mariachis walking around. The margaritas are flowing. And let me tell you something. If you can't have, you know, the place is crawling with beautiful women. All kinds of stuff going on, right? And plus, the listeners will be down. You bring your wives, bring your girlfriends, whatever. If you don't mind swapping, I'm kidding. But, you know, and if you can't have a ball with a margarita in your belly, sitting there with the freaking Mexican beach standing there, and all kinds of, you know, senoritas coming up to see whether you want another enchilada or taco, if you'll pardon the expression, then, brother, you ain't alive. So what they do is they set the whole deal up. They got the tables and everything, you know, so we'll have a couple of, you know, some something to eat. We'll do the broadcast from there. And then they bust out these mariachis. I was sitting there. I think I told you guys the story that Maria and I had a room down there. We took a vacation for about a week, and I was sitting, and we had a little kind of a room, and it had a patio. So I was kind of, you know, with sitting on a wall, straddling it with one leg hanging over there, and reading a book, and I'm looking off to my left, and down there, they're setting up tables. And I'm thinking, boy, that really looks like a lot of fun. Looks like it's going to be a party. And I asked the guy, big party?
Oh, yes, senor, big party. Lots of people. Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo, yeah.
By the way, I found out how strong the union is down there among food servers in Mexico, so I don't feel so sorry for those cats anymore. I mean, I like you guys, but get out of here with I'm living on a buck a day. You guys, one of the strongest unions in Mexico is hotel workers and restaurant workers. Huge, huge. I mean, if you go to some parts of Mexico, yeah, they're still bussing them in from the village, and they're getting 50 cents a day, you know, to give you like an anal scrub, whatever the hell the spas do.
And Mary will be helping you today here in our spa, and we have our seaweed wrap, as well as our aromatherapy, and this is Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hello.
And Mary comes from the village, and she makes a quarter a day. No, I ain't like that. Anyway, I'm looking at this, and now come the guests. And I notice that they're all coming in, and you can tell they're Americans a mile away. If there's one thing you can spot no matter where you are, as I've often said, it's a Yank. I don't care if you're in, I don't care where you are, China, Africa, boy, man, you can see an American. And I don't care what race of American either. Chinese American, African American, European American,
Norwegian?
What's a Norwegian?
It's an African Norwegian.
It's an African Norwegian.
Yes.
A Norwegian.
Yes.
All right, so even if you're a Norwegian, where'd you get that, man?
I had a friend of mine who was.
What, like one of his parents?
Yeah, his mom was a Norwegian, his dad was African.
From America?
No, from Africa.
And you cats called him a Norwegian?
No. Yeah.
Well, what is that about, man? I understand. I mean, was that a joke or something? What do you mean a Norwegian? Get out of here, will you? So anyway, these people start coming into this party. And there might have been one or two Norwegians. But anyway, and I saw the tables all getting set up. And I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be a blast. Now they bust out those mariachis. You know, the dudes that start blowing the trumpets? And now you got a belly full of margarita going on. And plus, they got that pool with the swim-up bar. Well, man, you have never seen a bigger pack of stiff people in your life. In other words, here is this, and the guys lit three bonfires on the beach, okay? And they had a big barbecue going. And now I'm listening to the, and everybody's there with the, you know, with the, like the Docker slacks, and the women are in heels. And you gotta be in like sandals and bathing suit or something. And then I hear the guy,
welcome everybody to the 30th annual Bob's Auto Parts Salesman of the Year trip. Man, everybody did a hell of a job. Okay, well, that's everybody eat.
All right, so then they ate. Then they got it.
All right, for here from the Cleveland office, Ted Sizzle. Ted?
Yeah, all right. And meanwhile, these mariachis working their asses off, you know. I didn't see why. I sat and I looked at this thing for 4 hours. Hell, I wanted to go down there. Maria was asleep. It had been a long day. And I wanted to go down there and, like, help them finish up that big kegger they had, but no. And by 10 o'clock, they wrapped it up.
They all went off and went to bed. And, of course, tomorrow now, everybody, I want you to, we're going to go on the tuna trawler, and you can look through the glass bottom. We'll be taking a bus into Cabo. You can buy some trinkets. Get out of here.
You know, so there's some people are, Mexico's for you, and some people, they shouldn't even be down there. I got a feeling the people listening to this show, perfect. Perfect. We have a very, very, I got a very high opinion of my listeners, and I should. People that listen to this show, get this show, dig this show, are a cut above other talk radio and other radio listeners. You guys get a whole other level of life that those people don't. You are so far superior to the Dr. Laura listener, it makes me want to drop to one knee and weep. Weep for humanity. You are so far superior, with all due respect to Rush, he's a nice guy, but you're so far superior to the Rush Limbaugh listener, it makes me want to just lay down with cramps in a fetal position and just cry for the world. You're so far superior to the comb-over boy listener that the comb-over boy listener is a Bakersfield chimp and you're animal control. There's just no comparison. And so you deserve the greatest remote broadcast in the history of man on this planet, which would be at Mexico, where you can let your hair down. I'm doing the show. You're getting hammered on margaritas. There's not going to be any FCC overseeing the fact that you're going to get drunk and get ripped to shreds in a boat propeller, and you can't sue me because you're in another country. All right. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a really cool story. It'll probably get me thrown off of all my Air America affiliates, but a British soldier serving in Iraq who saved 30 members of his unit from an ambush has been awarded the first Victoria Cross in more than 20 years. It's like the Congressional Medal of Honor, but we award the Congressional Medal of Honor more often than they award the Victoria Cross. Private Johnson was struck by enemy fire as he was guiding a convoy of warrior fighting vehicles through a town last May. The injuries received left him in a coma. He's recovering. When told he was getting the VC, the Victoria Cross, he said he was speechless.
Well, he's in a coma.
What?
He's in a coma.
No.
That's why he's speechless.
He said he was speechless, you jackass. He wasn't speechless.
He's in a coma. Is he speechless?
He ain't in a coma no more.
Then why is he speechless?
Because the guy's proud of having a freaking medal. What an idiot.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.